Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, friend. Here's the game we are playing. Are you one of those people?
Okay.
We each offer up a different question, asking the other person, are you one of those people who blank? And discussion and hilarity ensue. Ready?
Okay. Yes.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay. Fran, are you one of those people who poops in public?
Absolutely not. I need my squatty. I need my squatty potty and I need my bidet.
I forget you have that damn bidet too. Listen, squatty potty and somebody's bidet needs to come and be a sponsor of this podcast. Sponsor.
I also get this. I also have a travel squatty. Folds right up and goes into your suitcase.
This is old people stuff, but yo, we as old as hell. Okay.
You know why? Because I went when I was still going back and forth to New York because I was dating someone that will not be named. I was out there and couldn't shit. And I was like, my God, I was like, I am so addicted to the squatty. I felt like half a poop was still in me every day.
Well, listen, if I don't poop in the morning, my whole day is fucked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, I don't have a squatty, but I use yoga blocks. I sure do.
Same difference. You know me, mine matches my apartment. It's a little wood grain.
There's circles painted on it.
Now, don't tell people I put circles on the squatty potty. The landlords will come for me. You're painting on the squatty potty, too? No,
they have it out for your ass, though.
Okay. So I'm next. Okay. DeLon, are you one of those people who still carries cash?
I am not. I am not because I'm not. I don't live in 1995. But I'm. Do you ever get caught in situations where someone's like, "Oh, this is cash only"? This happens in New York all the time. I'm like, what do you mean cash only? What is that little square thing that you can put into the phone and swipe a card or tap your watch? I mean, this is me being 21st century. But.
You know, I will say I am somebody who carries cash.
You
only
do.
Because now listen, now this is about to get real bougie, because when I tell you why I carry cash, you're gonna be
like, are you talking about for tips?
No, I carry cash because my tennis instructor needs cash, so I get cash.
I'm not mad at that. The only time I get cash is for my haircuts.
Okay. And I also keep cash because, you know, I live in LA and I have a fucking car and I often have to pay to park. And a lot of the little parking huts, they only take cash. Some of them will take a car.
Okay.
But a lot of them it depends on where you're at. Like valet will take a card. But if it's like a random guy on the street who just like commandeered a parking lot, they take cash.
You see my face? Valet better take a card. It's valet.
Oh yeah. No, valet will take a card. But like, I went to a party this week and I had to pay cash. They didn't take card.
Wow.
And I had it.
Wow. I did turn down this man. I had a full wallet of cash and he asked me for money and I said no. And I knew I had that money in me.
Yeah. I wouldn't take it. I would be afraid. Look, you remember I got mugged. So. One thing about me, I'm not taking any cash out of my wallet. It's not happening.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. So traumatic.
Remember after I got mugged, I can laugh about it now. I was on the phone with you and somebody walked next to my car and I screamed. I screamed. I was in the drive through at like Wendy's, and I didn't even get my food. I just drove away.
You literally, I remember you screaming. I was like, what happened? You're like, some guy tried to squeeze in my window. What the fuck?
Yeah, scarred so for funny. Life.
For real. Okay. Fran, are you one of those people who leaves your ringer on still?
On my phone?
On your phone, yeah.
No, my ringer is never on. It's always on silent.
My ringer is never on. And I was, you know, I'm a live performer. I do theater. So I was, I can't tell you how many times during this silent show where it's mainly seniors. It's mainly like septuagenarians, octogenarians, right? Yeah. Who just don't know how to turn it off. And I'm like, you heard the announcement, didn't you? Somebody said to turn
they
your cell phone
off. But you know what it might be, to your point about not knowing, maybe it was on silent and then they said, turn it on, turn your phones on silent. And then that's when they turned them back on. They thought it, they didn't know it was already on silent. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's
I could
like,
see that happening.
I could see it too. The pity I have for that. Oh, I pity the fool.
Yeah, because that's going to be us. We
prepare yourself.
Yeah, but by the time we're that age, it'll be like a chip implanted in your head or something that you just like click, click.
I'm still looking forward to these glasses. Weren't they going to be glasses with like a computer in there?
Oh,
like
they already
that?
Have the big. They already have the big Apple one. I hate that. Look ugly.
They look, evidently they're really heavy. I saw this video of a woman not knowing where she was going, ran into the microwave, shattered the glasses.
Yeah, goggles. Good for her. She has disposable income. Those things are like $4,500.
They're a lot. They're too much money. They're too much money.
Okay, Delon, are you one of those people who interrupts people?
Obviously.
Yes. I mean, yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's us.
That is us. That is us. I mean, I feel bad sometimes. We've talked about this. I feel bad sometimes when people don't understand that, like, I'm just excited and I want to add to the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to cut them off. I'm like, oh, the thing that I remember. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know that. And I dated someone who that was like a big point of contention between us. He was very much more like, not docile, but like not aggressive in communicating. And it wasn't like, I'm not trying to talk over you. Like I'm agreeing with you. And I think because you and I speak that way, I forget right. that not everybody talks that way. And
Me
it can
too.
Be very overwhelming.
Well, and I also, I'm not patient. I was going to say I'm very patient. I am not. But I will literally let you speak. And then I just can't take it anymore. And I'm like, okay, I have to say something, right? Because like you're going on too long. Not you personally, but you know, the figurative you. So Fran, are you one of those people who farts and blames it on your dog?
No. You know when it's a flex fart. You'll know.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's a
what do you feed that dog?
No, I just think it's the dog's stomach. Dog's stomach is very different from people's stomach. But also, I'm in here alone. So I don't really have a...
she got to make no excuse to nobody.
Nobody is in here for me to be saying to lie.
Wait, have you ever farted and had Flex like get up off you and be like, girl, damn.
I wish he fucking would. No. He has
He's up there
no...
sniffing it deep.
Ew, he loves it. Okay. Delon, are you one of those people who is lactose intolerant but eats dairy anyway? Because... we all know that Francesca is.
I believe this
sorry.
Is why
as
we're
I was,
friends.
Sorry.
Did you
as
fart
I was reading,
as you were saying?
No. I was saying as I was reading it, like I hadn't read ahead class. Y'all know that we pre-write some of these jokes. I was like reading it and I like didn't know how to end it. I was like, because we know French. Oh, yes. Francesca. Yes. Like,
that story of my life with reading, as you well know, like my dyslexic ass. But why were these all like poop jokes?
Because you wrote them.
Ooh, wait. No.
Listen. wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it. Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says, TGIW. Thank goodness it's Wednesday. I'm Francesca Ramsey. I'm an actress, producer, writer, and former graphic designer.
And I'm DeLon Grant, an actor, a singer, a photographer, and a writer. And class, today we are hopping into Steve Urkel's time machine and revisiting the 11 years that TGIF dominated our lives.
Now, for the unfamiliar, TGIF was ABC's Friday night programming block that aired from 1989 to the year 2000, meaning that DeLon and I were between the ages of 5 and 15 at the later half. DeLon was 16, right?
I was 16 because I was held back.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Did I tell you the story?
No.
One time I was telling, because my birthday's in August, I was talking to my mom one time and I was like, well, you know, I'm a year ahead of everyone age-wise because my birthday's in August, so you just started me early. She was like, no, we held you back. And I was like, oh, jaw on the floor. Why did
held you back in
that?
Kindergarten? Because that's what
I think like in first grade, actually. I can't remember.
Yeah. So this is a thing that parents did at the time, I guess, depending on where your birthday falls. Because I'm November and my mom kept me in kindergarten a year because the alternative would be I would be the youngest in the class or I would be the oldest in the class. So, wow, look at us being twins. I just can't get over the fact that we were actual babies when this show was on the air. We joke about being middle-aged, but this confirms that we are old.
Old. I know we keep talking about it, but we are old because it's a new revelation, which is why the pod's like nostalgia is such a huge part of its brand, right? Mm-hmm. We're now old enough to have a wealth of nostalgia to actually draw upon and remember. I know I'm a little morbid and it's crazy to think about, but we now arguably have about as much time behind us as we do ahead of us.
It's yeah, I know. You, DeLon loves to call it the back 40.
The back That's 40, girl.
Well, whether we like it or not, our millennial asses have crossed over into middle age, but we are still fine, like wine. Now, DeLon, when you mentioned that you wanted to do an episode about TGIF, that really got me thinking about sitcoms, otherwise known as situational comedies, because they really dominated TGIF and network television as a whole when we were growing up. But that model feels very outdated these days. We're talking about the multicam, soundstage, the studio audience, otherwise known as the last track, but an audience of people actually watching the show. So class, multicam is pretty much what it sounds like. It is a TV show that is shot with multiple cameras as opposed to a single cam, which is technically a misnomer because there are multiple cameras in single cam. It's just a different style. So multicam allows for several angles to be shot at once. So it creates this more stylized editing feel, and it is comedy. You're not seeing multicam in drama. So think Friends, Seinfeld, Disney Channel shows. They're also a lot cheaper to produce because those sets, you're not going on location. You're not doing overnights. You have like almost like a regular 9-to-5 job, so to speak, because you can't record with a live audience at 10 p.m. Those recordings are like 4 p.m., 5 p.m., generally speaking. Fewer setups and less complicated production time.
Well, and like you were saying, like you told me that instead of single cam, it's like one primary camera. Mm-hmm. And because there are multiple cameras on a quote unquote single cam TV show.
Yeah.
The single cam or the one primary camera kind of has a like a cinematic, more like movie character focused feel to it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that that's the single cam of it all comes in. It's shot more like a movie. You've got one camera doing like close-ups. You maybe will have, like on Superstore, for example, we were technically a single cam, but there were three cameras on set, like one doing a big wide, and then we'd have one going in close and doing close-ups on people's faces and like moving around. Maybe if someone was like walking down a hallway or something, you do a quote walk and talk. You can't do those on a multicam because you're actually on a stage. It's more like filming a play.
But today, class, we are going to flex our nostalgic yearnings and talk about some of the more successful multicam shows that were packaged into ABC's Friday night lineup programming block TGIF. So just a heads up, There were a ton of shows on TGIF, and we are going to miss a few in our discussion. So please feel free to yell at us via email at letmefixitpod@gmail.com or send us a DM as usual at fixitpod and let us know which shows we missed. After Fran and I do some reminiscing about TGIF, we will explore what it would take to revive that TV programming block and do our best to fix it. So let's dive in. TGIF, let me fix it.
So first, let's talk about this name. Delon, is TGIF an acronym or an abbreviation?
I think an acronym is an abbreviation that makes a word, right? So like right. FOMO or GIF or JIF, whatever the fuck y'all are calling it these days.
It's GIF.
So, it's a G, it's a GIF.
Yes.
So TGIF, I think, is an abbreviation because it's not a word.
Okay, well, this was actually a trick question because it's actually an initialism. Now, to be fair, I did not know this before starting this episode, but an initialism is an acronym that is said as individual letters. So FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is an acronym, but SAT is an initialism. It was kind of difficult to find out who or what put TGIF into the cultural consciousness class. I'm sure that we all know what TGIF means. But if you don't, it's thank God it's Friday. And so it was an initialism symbolizing the relief at the end of the work week and the freedom to turn up for the weekend. Now, there are some accounts that say it was popularized in the 1970s by Jerry Healy, a DJ, which is also an initialism.
Hey.
Okay. He was working for a radio station in Akron, Ohio. Some credit the 1978 Motown film, Thank God It's Friday, starring Donna Summer and Jeff Goldblum for making it a thing. But there's also evidence that the creation of a restaurant chain, shout out to TGI Fridays, in 1965 helped popularize the term. Give me one of those little, what are those little things called? Not a tater tot, a potato skin?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say a chicken finger. What are they called, chicken fingers?
I don't know. Chicken fingers? And chickens don't have fingers; they have claws.
They don't have fingers.
That's so funny. I loved the potato skins from TGI Fridays. Mm. However, their version, the restaurant, is Thank Goodness It's Fridays. There must not have been any copyright issues with the phrase, so ABC slapped Thank Goodness It's Friday on their Friday night lineup.
Now that you mention it, like ABC's TV block was the first time I actually remember becoming aware of the phrase TGIF, and I don't remember knowing what it was beyond TV shows. I mean, obviously, I figured out what it meant, you know, but I don't remember when. I can tell you this, though. ABC first launched TGIF as a programming block in the fall of 1989, as we mentioned earlier. It was a marketing tool to get younger viewers to watch an entire lineup of shows as opposed to just one. So more eyes on shows means more commercial ad revenue, right?
I mean, it genuinely is so smart, and especially in terms of like targeting young people. We weren't going out on Friday night, so it made sense. Like, you were looking forward to the weekend, but you were also looking forward to watching this block of shows. I mean, they really knew what they were doing. TGIF was the brainchild of Jim Janik, a writer and producer at ABC in charge of promoting the network's Tuesday and Friday night lineups. Now, Janik modeled this wholesome TV block after his nostalgic memories of watching The Wonderful World of Disney with his family as a child. And so TGIF's family-friendly orientation was a huge part of the block's success. This is a thing that you can watch with your kids, with your parents, with the grandparents, with the neighbors. Friday nights on ABC became a time that the entire family could enjoy, and the brand was strong as hell.
So strong that, do you remember, I remember Black people calling Family Matters Urkel. Do you remember that? They just called it Urkel. Oh, we're about to
Black
watch Urkel. Urkel's
always,
on.
We always do that. We just change the name of shit all the time.
We just name it what we want to name it, right?
Mm-hmm. Purple Drink. It's not called Purple Drink. It's not.
Purple Drink. It's Kool-Aid. It's called Purple Drink.
It's called Purple Drink.
I remember.
I definitely remember Black people just calling it Urkel, which is so funny. I hadn't thought about that in ages.
I know, it's so funny. The brand was crazy strong. I mean, TGIF would be the first time a major network would actually brand a programming block. NBC would later package its must-see TV Thursdays in the 90s, which I think had to be a response to TGIF, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't work. Must-see TV Thursdays. It's too long.
It's clunky.
It's very clunky.
It doesn't
rhyme. No one's thinking about Thursday.
I still gotta go to work on Friday.
Why would I look forward to a Thursday?
Right. Hilarious. But TGIF created a ton of hit shows, but it also had its fair share of flops and forgotten TV shows. For this episode, we're only going to be talking about some of the highlights of the programming block's standout.
We really want to do an episode on TGIF's forgotten and failed TV shows, but we have to mention one show before we fully dig into the successes, because we have mentioned it on the pod before. You might remember we did an episode on the downfall of Jussie Smollett and that alleged hate crime hoax. If you haven't listened to it, please go back into the Me Fix It archives and check it out. So it turns out that Jussie was a TGIF alumni. In 1994 through 95, Jussie was on a show called On Our Own alongside his five other real siblings, Jake, Jazz, Joquai, JoJo, and of course, Miss Journey, who we all still know out here making movies and TV shows to this day.
So On Our Own chronicles the seven newly orphaned Jericho children being raised by their eldest brother, Josh. The show initially aired on Sunday nights, but was moved to the TGIF lineup mid-season to help with viewership. But unfortunately, the show ended up being canceled after only 20 episodes. Not only 20 episodes, a lot, please.
No, 20 episodes is good, but like in the world of...
Nobody does 20 episodes anymore.
No, but... In the world of, like, you know, the old school seasons, 20 episodes was a season. They were doing these 22. You know what I mean? So, like, 20 episodes, again, we look at that like, oh, my God, I'd love to have 20 episodes. But back then, that was, like, maybe a season, maybe two, like 10 and 10.
Kind of standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Franan, I think the Jussie Smollett episode is one of our most downloaded episodes.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, in the top three, I think.
It really is. It features our very first guest, actress, comedian, and host of the award-winning podcast, Scam Goddess Lacey Mosley. Listen, it's worth your time for Lacey's hilarity alone. Jussie's case is harrowing, but Lacey had us dying.
Oh, yeah. They are still trying to put that man in jail. Yeah, Jussie's out here.
I hate to laugh, but they really are.
I mean, the whole thing is a mess. Go listen to the episode if you haven't already.
Okay, now let's dig in. I want to start with some of our favorite TGIF shows.
Okay, wait. I think we also should mention that there were two attempts to revive TGIF after its initial 11-year run. There was a reboot from, and I did not know there was a reboot.
Me either.
I didn't know. 2003 to 2005, not very long. There was another attempt in 2018 that only lasted a year. But for the purpose of today's episode, we're only going to be talking about the shows from 1989 to 2000.
I read somewhere that TGIF was the house that Urkel built, and I fucking love that phrase. Just
real.
In terms of my just in terms of my own formative years, I couldn't agree more. If you asked me before starting this episode, what was like the show that defined TGIF for you, it is Family Matters, hands down.
Yes, and I want to know, what is Jaleel White doing? Where are you at, what? Jaleel?
You know, he got a degree from UCLA in film and TV. He did. He works. He had like small parts of TV shows, but you would think.
Yeah, that... I mean, I looked him up. I did look up his IMDb. I mean, in the figurative sense, like I would think coming off of Steve Urkel was the biggest character at that time. I mean, huge. Like people were saying the catchphrase. And also it's important to remember, class, this is like pre-internet that we know now. We had internet, but there was no YouTube
going viral.
There was no going viral, and yet Urkel, people were dressing up as him for Halloween.
Yeah,
you know, people were impersonating him in class and like on TV shows. Like he was like such a big part of the cultural consciousness. It's kind of wild that Jaleel White didn't go on. Perfect example, Will Smith leaving Fresh Prince and going on and being like a big movie star. Why didn't that happen for Jahlil? Maybe it's
Ooh, this is a really good discussion. I mean, first of all, I want to put in the ubiquity of Urkel really quick.
Please, stop. We know you know that word, okay?
I'm just trying to make sure everybody else knows the word. Anyway, but to your point about Urkel, Urkel was not... didn't have sex appeal. And I wonder if like his lack of sex appeal is something that compared to Will Smith, Will Smith was like this sexy, cool guy.
But he has Stephon
Urkel. Wait a minute. Yo, Stephon could get it. Okay. So, Family Matters aired on TGIF from 1989 to 1997 and would be the second longest running live action sitcom with a lead Black cast behind The Jeffersons. Now, they've both since been surpassed by Tyler Perry's House of Pain. Family Matters was a sitcom that followed the Winslow family, a middle-class Black family living in Chicago.
Now, about midway through Family Matters' first season, the show introduced the Winslow family's annoying next-door neighbor, Steve Urkel, played by, as we mentioned, Jahlil White. Now, initially, he was created as a very minor character, and this seems to happen all of the time. So shout out to the writers, because Urkel became such a fan favorite that and just a great catalyst for hijinks on the show that he was made into a full part of the cast during the show's second season. He would eventually become the show's lead character. And the house that Urkel made is so apt because Steve Urkel was so popular at the time that he had cameos on Full House and Step by Step. And they didn't have any Black people on those shows.
And not a one. So you know it meant something, okay?
They were really slipping him in there because they knew if you give them Urkel, the people will watch.
Yeah, and you know what? I guarantee you, I could see the ads in my head right now. I guarantee you they were like, tune in right after Family Matters because Urkel's going to be on Step by Step. Ooh, the announcer voice, though? Ready? Give me a job.
He's trying to be booked.
Okay. What are we talked about the nerd aspect of Steve, and I just think it was the first time that I actually saw a Black nerd, right?
Yeah.
I saw like cool kids, but like, I wasn't like really cool when I was a kid. So it just gave me like another example, another option of who I could be, that there are other people like me in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing that you brought up, the fact that he is like so interesting, like quote unquote desexualized, but at the same time, this idea that has been called adorkable misogyny. It's this idea that like these dork characters are not sexualized, but they still get to be sexual. Like they're creeps, you know, like Urkel would be essentially stalking Laura, hiding in her closet, always asking her on dates, like not understanding like the bounds of consent and like touching her and like, you know, like doing these things that, to your point about quote unquote desexualized, because he's a nerd, he's allowed to do those things.
He's safe. Quote unquote.
He's safe, right? And this idea, I borrowed this definition from Pop Culture Detective. They did a great video on YouTube about the adorkable misogyny of Big Bang Theory. Definitely check it out. But they talked about the fact that the status of the nerdy guy lets them off the hook for their sexist behavior. And so because he's a nerd, well, he's awkward, he's weird, he's safe, like you said, and we kind of give him a pass on this bad behavior.
But you also like that just removes the person that is receiving the energy, receiving the bad behavior, be the victim, right?
Oh,
from the equation.
Yes. It's not about, I mean, I have not gone back and watched the show in forever, but I watched some clips in looking up this adorkable misogyny thing. And Laura is like, please leave me alone. she's like, leave me alone. She's like in her bathrobe going to get her clothes out of the closet. And he's like, hey, I'm here.
Oh,
and it's like,
my
oh
my God,
this is bad.
Terrible.
And it's
terrible.
Played for laughs.
And we're cracking up.
Cracking up. Did I do that?
Did I do that? Hilarious. We have to talk about the theme songs. I mean, we're going to be talking about theme songs this entire episode because, like, the theme songs are buried into my brain, tattooed on my soul. But here's my question. Why were the theme songs, not only from TGIF, but in this era, like, some raspy voice so-and-so? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's a rare condition. He's like a smoker with a cigar in his mouth. You know what I mean?
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. And love and tradition of the grand design, some people say it's even harder to find.
First of all, Delon, can I just say my heart just grew three sizes because you just did an impression. And you love to talk, you love to talk about me doing an impression. But not only did you do one, it was good. That was a good impression.
It was good. Okay, thank you. Like the pit of his soul. Like, oh my God. It was the jam.
As days go by.
The other thing about the theme song of it all, you and I have talked about this. TV shows don't have theme songs anymore.
They don't. And it was
they have maybe a little instrumental that happens during the opening credits, but we're not giving you lyrics in theme songs anymore. Why?
Right. I mean, because that's how you got hooked in. You like, oh, it's starting. And it gave you like a little time to get some water, finish popping the popcorn and sit on down.
Well, maybe it's a streaming age, huh?
Oh, I think that's a good call. But I will say this. I think there was a weird thing that happened where TV shows just started, and then the credits roll under like the beginning of the episode. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When that happened, like in the late 90s?
Yeah. I mean, that's also, I think, the single cam versus the multicam. Because when you're watching a sitcom, there's a, and look, you know, tying it all full circle, our show is set up very similarly. We have a cold open. Then we have the theme song. Then we start the show. That's what sitcoms do. They have a cold open. And they also have what's called a tag, meaning the show is over.
Oh,
and during the credits, there's usually one joke or like a post scene. That's called the tag. You don't get those in single cam. You get that in multicam.
And also what you're saying is, let me fix a TV show coming to you.
She's a writer. She's a writer. None of this is on accident.
Fran, what I didn't know before we started this episode was Family Matters is actually a spinoff, which kind of blew my mind.
That happens a lot.
Doesn't it?
That happens so much.
It feels like, how do we not know this? So Harriet Winslow, played by Jo Marie Payton, and Carl Winslow, played by actor Reginald Vell Johnson, appeared on Perfect Strangers before Family Matters was ever created. So Perfect Strangers spent 8 years on ABC from 1986 to 1993. Known for its physical comedy, Perfect Strangers was a sort of updated version of The Odd Couple to complete opposites living together. It followed the lives of Larry Appleton, played by Mark Lynn Baker, and his foreign cousin, Balky Bartokom, as played by Bronson Pinchot. Fred, do you remember this show at all?
I do remember it. I remember it from, what was it on Nickelodeon? Nick at Night.
Oh, I love Nick at Night.
And I remember that they both had like hair that looked like a cockatoo, like a big, puffy,
like a mullety,
like a mullet in the back, but in the front was like a big bang, kind of like Johnny Bravo. Oh. Remember that cartoon where it's just like this big, weird hair thing? That's what I remember.
Circus in the front, party in the back. So
circus in the front. I don't think that's it's business in the front.
If it's puffy, it ain't really doing any business.
I'm sorry. It's business in the front, party in the back.
I know what it
is. And you turned it into circus in the front?
It's like cloudy the way you described it with Johnny Bravo.
I get it, but it's still, sorry, it tickles me that's where you went, but I like it.
Hilarious. So Larry and Balky were navigating their lives in Chicago. The show was such a hit at the time that ABC thought it'd be a great idea to pollinate other shows with some of the Perfect Strangers characters. Enter the Winslows. So Harriet Winslow first appeared as an elevator operator at the Chicago Chronicle, where the Perfect Perfect Strangers cousins, Larry and Balky, worked, and Harriet's husband, Carl Winslow, debuted on the show's fourth season as a cop in an episode called Crime Busters, where he helped Larry get a scoop for an investigative report.
I just love these connective tissue factoids that have kind of become a part of our show. And we do these deep dives.
Me too.
All right, so the next show that also had a banging theme song in the TGIF lineup was Step by Step. Do you remember the theme song?
Step by step, day by day,
day by day.
Fresh start over a different end of play. Time will tell, but you know what they say.
We'll make it better.
Second time around.
Yo, I love this one.
To your point, step by step. Day by day,
day by day,
day by day.
The big draw up to it. Hilarious. I loved
it.
I loved it.
The second time around.
Do you remember, like, knowing the instrumental thing seared in your mind, too? Crazy.
Oh, can't remember my bank account routing number, but the fucking step-by-step theme song like it was yesterday, okay?
For real.
So Step-by-Step was on TGIF for 7 seasons from 1991 to 1998, and it revolved around a blended Lambert and Foster families. It's kind of like a modernized Brady Bunch. So after a whirlwind vacation in Jamaica, Frank Lambert, a divorced contractor, played by Patrick Duffy, marries Carol Foster, a widowed salon owner, played by Suzanne Summers. But they never told their kids. Hijinks.
That's kind of a great plot.
This is not reality, okay? Like, this, I mean, this doesn't happen. You guys get married, you don't tell your kids.
I mean, sure, but then I would argue, like, every sitcom is the same show over and over completely.
Oh, the blended family? They love a fucking blended family.
Okay.
Every show is a blended family. Okay, so the two families they each have 3 kids. They move in together. Obviously, they can't stand each other. And this family spent 106 episodes trying to figure it out. It is a trope that we have seen in so many shows.
It's so true. And one of the other TGIF, like, classics that is a great example of a blended family or a family of circumstance is Full House.
Mm-hmm.
So Full House made its way onto the TGIF lineup in 1987 and would last 192 episodes, finally ending in 1995. The show surrounded the life of widower Danny Tanner, played by comedian Bob Saget, as he asks his brother-in-law Jesse, played by the sexy ass John Stamos. Yo, nobody's aged better than John Stamos. So he asks Jesse and his childhood friend Joey, played by Dave Coulier, to move in and help him raise his 3 daughters. The 3 daughters are DJ, played by the militantly Christian Candace Cameron, Stephanie, played by Jody Sweetin, and Michelle, played by the Olsen twins Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Now, factoid, the reason that Mary-Kate and Ashley were hired to share the role of Michelle Tanner is because of child labor laws. Laws are in place to protect children. Got to find a way to work around them.
Okay. capitalism at its best.
So according to the U.S. Department of Labor, you need a permit to hire children, and they are not allowed to work for more than 5 consecutive days. And the state of California has regulations as well, limiting children from 6 months to 2 years old to working only 2 hours a day. Now, y'all got them vlogging family children working 24 hours. But California says, if you're going to be SAG, if you're going to get your card and you're going to be in front of a camera, you can only work 2 hours a day. And children from 2 to 5 years old can only work 3 hours a day. So hiring twins has become common practice that allows productions to work longer hours. Again, gotta have those loopholes. We also should give an honorable mention to Fuller House, which is the 2016 Netflix reboot, because it went on to have 5 seasons.
Did you know that?
I didn't know it was this many. I didn't know people were watching it.
I had no idea.
I'm really dumbfounded.
The nostalgia got y'all in a chokehold, okay? You know what? I bet somebody needs to do research and see if it was because people were depressed about Donald Trump And so they needed to watch yes. something that made them feel safe and secure and reminded
so
them
right.
of home. Notably, Mary-Kate and Ashley are missing from the reboot because they retired from acting and they are rich, rich, rich. They actually took up fashion design. They are the founders of The Row, which is quoted as combining timeless perspective with subtle attitudes, which is just means that it's like hella expensive basics. right. Delon, I put two items in the doc. Please tell the class what they are and how much they cost.
So let me tell y'all, there's a white button down, and I will say this, the button down is, you do not see the buttons. So I think that the extra flap to cover up the buttons costs an extra $500 because this shirt is $1,190. And
what?
It's insane that this white shirt would cost that. Mm-hmm. And then there's a set of pants that are a basic ass black pant. I don't even, are these high waisted? I don't even know. But they're $14.90.
Top pleated wide leg pants. It just looks like you can find these pants at Express.
At Kmart. Anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, look, people love their clothes. I have never purchased their clothes. I've seen them in like Nordstrom Rack or like Saks Off Fifth, which is like the discounted Saks every once in a while. Mm-hmm. They're still very expensive even when they're on sale. But people love their clothes, and they do very well. They've done very well for themselves. So to make up for the loss of Michelle on the reboot, the show gave Kimmy Gibbler, the Tanner family's goofy next-door neighbor, played by Andrea Barber, a more significant storyline in the reboot.
I really like that they did that because Kimmy was kind of a fun character.
They love a goofy neighbor. I don't think I know anybody who has if you have a goofy neighbor, can you email us? Who has a goofy neighbor
that just shows up at your house that like you is endearing to you
and you cannot get rid of them. They are always there eating your food, got their feet up on the couch and stuff.
Showed up in your closet.
Exactly. It's a TV trope, but it doesn't really ring true to real life.
I think we would get canceled though, friend, if we did not mention the Full House theme song, which is like another raspy classic.
Oh my God.
We lost out there all alone.
Light is waiting to carry you home.
Everywhere you look. Wait, this is my favorite part. Wait, I was trying to like sound this out to write it, and I was like, what'd you call me?
So funny. I want a sketch based around like the writers of all of these theme songs, because I feel like there's just like a lineup of like heavy set dudes with beards. They're all from New Orleans. They all smoke cigarettes. You know what I mean? They're wearing like flip flops and Bahama t-shirts and like cargo pants. And you know what I mean? You know what they are? They're the dude
The
Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. Yes,
that's him. That is who sings.
And you look at him, and you go like, you're like that one. And he comes up and like screams his ass off. And you're like, damn, he can sing.
And he never takes his shades off. And he's like, do we need another take? He's smoking in the booth.
Totally. Absolutely. And he's in his fucking robe. Ridiculous. Some of the things that we should mention is that we did lose Bob Saget, a key cast member of Full House in 2022. What was that rumor about Dave Coulier?
Oh, it's not a rumor. Alanis Morissette. No, it's not a rumor. Alanis Morissette wrote You Ought to Know about Dave fucking Coulier. And I will never forget. She called his ass out. She said, will she go down on you in a theater?
I know the version of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater?
Telling all your business though, Alanis.
Alanis, you out here sucking Dave Coulier's dick
during the Lord's Theater?
The Lawrence Theater? Shut up. It's an AMC. Like, you can do that. You
My dumbass thing is a live performance. I'm like,
no, they're not at Broadway. No. They're the Dollar Theater. Dave Coulier. And like, look, I don't know that man, but I would not think, looks wise, he would not possess the level of like yearning and anger and passion that's in those songs.
Absolutely not. I think, you know what it is? I think it's, if I could go into their history, it was, he's funny. He got her with the humor. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he does something right that hooked her.
Yeah, no, you're right. He is funny. And I like, you know, humor will open the door.
I think we would also get booed off stage if we didn't mention Boy Meets World. Boy Meets World ran for 7 seasons on TGIF from 1993 to 2000. The year 2000 being the beginning of the aughts, for those who are paying attention, except for Francesca. I'm going to move on really quick so she can't say anything. Boy Meets World followed the life of Corey Matthews, played by Ben Savage, a precocious preteen navigating the trappings of adolescence. This show also starred Ryder Strong, who was, you know, a heart throb at the time, as Corey's best friend Sean, and Danielle Fischel as Topanga, who was the foil to Corey's adolescent development, meaning sexual development.
Now, Delon, we really gonna get in trouble as we record this in the final days of Black History Month to not mention Angela, my good sis, who was playing the girlfriend. How do you not remember Angela?
You know what? I do remember Angela, but Angela came in latter seasons when they were in high school.
She was significant, and as an alternative Black girl who was shopping at Wet Seal at that time, she was Wet a style Seal. Icon to me. She had little beret. She had those little butterfly clips in her hair, and she would be wearing like a silk cami tee. She was so beautiful, and she was, look, gay.
I was like, Fran, you wanted to be her, and you wanted to make out with her. She said silk cami tee. You better.
Delon, this is the peril of being a bisexual woman in the aughts. I'll say it for you so you'll pay attention. I don't want you to fucking have a stroke while I'm talking about my bisexual awakening that I didn't even know was happening, where I often was like, I want to be that girl, but like the reality was I liked that
be
girl
with
in that way.
That
but
girl.
She was a perfect example. Oh my God, just beautiful, so talented. And we will get into some of her tea as well.
The other thing to note about Boy Meets World is that Ben Savage, the lead of that show, was a brother of Fred Savage, who was famous for another TV show, The Wonder Years, also a formative TV show for us. Ben Savage is actually running for Congress this year in California.
He's been trying to run for office for a minute. He's run a few times and lost every time up until this point. I can't really say much about his politics. I really don't know. But I will say that in 2020, during everyone's racial reckoning, Trina McGee, who is the actress who played Angela, revealed that she experienced a lot of racist bullying on the set of Boy Meets World.
That's so sad.
Including, and you know what? Shout out to her. Because she said, I'm going to wait on this. And in 2020, when everybody was posting their little black squares on Instagram, she said, now I remember when we were on set at work, you was calling me Aunt Jemima. The guy who played fucking Eric Matthews, Will Friedle. But according to Trina, Will did reach out and apologize, and she forgave him. But unfortunately, it continued when she was a guest star on the Girl Meets World reboot from the girl who played Topanga, Danielle Fischel-Karp, was also being rude to her on set. So much so that the girls were coming for her, and she had to release a statement on Twitter. She got on Twitter and she said, I owe her an apology for being rude, cold, and distant when she was a guest star. Her tweet regarding warm hellos being met with cold blank stares was about me. Trina and I spoke over a month ago, and she gracefully accepted my apology. Now, look, we're not trying to give out cookies to everybody,
right?
But I think she did a good job here. She said what happened. She said that it was her. She talked to Trina offline a month ago before this tweet happened. And she said She gracefully accepted my apology. I mean, I think she did a good job here. Again, she shouldn't have been rude to my girl.
Right.
But
right.
You can't fault her for doing the work behind the scenes and then owning her shit on the timeline.
Listen, owning her shit on the timeline, and she even has a Black Lives Matter little
Oh God.
Where her picture
so
should be. So you know it's real.
Oh my God. Another TGIF staple was Sabrina the Teenage Witch, based on the comic book from 1970s, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. It aired for 4 seasons from 1996 to 2000, and the show follows Sabrina Spellman, played by Melissa Joan Hart, as she discovers her powers as a witch. Now, I fucking loved this show because I definitely had a moment where I thought I was a witch. And so this spoke to me. Sabrina lives with her aunt, Hilda, played by Caroline Ray, and Zelda, played by Beth Broderick. And their talking cat, voiced by Nick Backe. I don't know who that is, but he was very funny. And they all guide her as she becomes a novice witch.
So can I tell you why I didn't enjoy the TV show? Because there was a Showtime movie also starring Melissa Joan Hart, and I fucking loved the movie. And then I was like, I didn't like what they did with the cat. It was like animatronic.
Oh, wait, was the movie Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
It was also Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I don't think I ever saw that. Well, listen, I was already a Melissa Joan Hart stan because I loved Clarissa Explains It All.
I love
that show. Was my shit. Way cool.
Way cool. Totally. Can you remind me, did she talk to the camera, directly to the camera?
Yes. She talked to the camera and they were like, oh my God, this was such a Fran fucking show. Like there were like squiggles on screen.
And when
like she would transition between like segments, like she would do like little dances and it looked like ripped notepaper.
Yeah.
And like whenever her neighbor would show up, it would be like, bam!
Through the window, like, right?
Yeah, through the there were just like all of these elements that felt really like pages of her journal, you know what I mean? It was just so like handmade feeling. I loved that show.
It was like really, it was a really great preteen show. It was a fantastic preteen show, right?
And she's always wearing like combat boots and like flannel and just dressed so, she was so cool.
She was so cool.
Another TGIF classic was Dinosaurs. Do you remember the show, DeLon?
I loved this show.
This was a fucking good
show. Why was the show so good?
A lot of clips from Dinosaurs have been going viral on TikTok. They're so fucking funny. The premise is just so genius.
Brilliant.
We definitely should do a Let Me Fix It episode about this show. Dinosaurs really had just such a great concept. So it was created by Jim Henson of the Muppets. He first came up with this idea of doing a sitcom, but with dinosaurs in 1988, but everyone thought it was a crazy idea. So class, if you're taking notes, do not let people discourage you.
Talk about it.
You have to be your own cheerleader. Jim Henson said, you know what? Fuck y'all. I'm gonna do it my way. The series actually came to fruition a year after Henson's death, which is just so sad, but also like kind of a beautiful memorial to him.
Totally.
In that like his ideas were still so freaking good. And it ended up having 4 full seasons on TGIF. The clips are going viral on TikTok because the show is so funny. Just like seeing these dinosaurs having like marital issues and shit. So funny.
Well, and I also like think Roseanne, that show started before Dinosaurs aired, but it's kind of like a cleaner version of Roseanne. I realize it's like this working class family, right? Who just happen to be dinosaurs. It's really funny.
And then there's also I'm the baby, I'm the baby, not the mama.
So Dinosaurs aired on TGIF, like Fran said, from 1991 to 1994-ish. It used animatronics designed by Jim Henson to create an anthropomorphized dinosaur family. So That's an SAT word. Anthropomorphism is when we give human traits, emotions, and intentions to non-human beings. It happens a lot in fantasy and sci-fi. The show centers around, like I said, the working class Sinclair family, who were talking dinosaurs, living in 6 million BC. Like you said, friend, this show and its inner workings are so interesting that we definitely need to do like a deep dive on this series. So let's just not even touch it so that we can really dig into it later.
If you've never seen this show before, class, you have to go look it up. And what I really love about it, because a lot of times when you watch shows from the 90s, it feels really dated.
Yes.
But I will say, because they actually built these full dinosaur puppets, like it still looks really good. Like it doesn't look old. Like the eyebrows move and like the faces have expressions, and it's just, oh my God, it's so freaking funny and smart.
And you know what I heard recently? I was talking to somebody about theater, and I was talking about like he mentioned theater of the illusion versus theater of the imagination. And theater of the illusion is like you come to see this, you know, as we call it, a living room play that's just about a family, right? But theater of the illusion is like you come and you see dinosaurs on stage and you go, oh, this is not realistic at all. And our imagination just fills in the blank. I think the reason dinosaurs feels like not dated is because it's that imagination. We go, well, this isn't real. So I'm just going along for the ride. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really smart. I think it also doesn't feel dated because the sitcom feels so familiar.
Like, right.
I saw a clip where they have a realtor who's visiting, and there's this conversation about her, the like dad dinosaur is like, oh, your husband lets you work? And she's like, oh, I'm not married. And he's like, what? And the wife is like, yeah, she just works. She doesn't have a husband. She's like, yeah, I'm divorced. And it's fucking dinosaurs. And they're having, and like, you can see that the wife is like kind of jealous that this realtor has her own job and her own life. And the husband's getting jealous and like trying to fucking neg her. But they're dinosaurs, and
so
like, that's what makes it so funny. And like, but they have all these like references that are dinosaur specific. Like, they don't have a garbage disposal; it's like a little dinosaur in the sink that they like put food in its mouth.
It's kind of like the Flintstones meets dinosaurs meets a sitcom. That's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it's so clever. So we've gone through all of the hits, but we've only mentioned one of the Black shows from TGIF's lineup. What about Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Hanging with my man is also cool. Yo, so Dawn Lewis, an actress in Hanging with Mr. Cooper, is backed up by the girl group In Vogue in the opening of Mr. Cooper with a theme song. Like, that
blew
my mind.
For breaking the format of the raspy dude in the booth. This had no, we are getting an actual girl group to sing this bop.
Okay.
So Hanging with Mr. Cooper was on TGIF for three seasons from 1993 to 1996. It starred actor Mark Curry as Mark Cooper, a former NBA basketball player turned substitute teacher and high school basketball coach, living with his roommate, Vanessa Russell, played by Holly Robinson Pete. The show also had a full cast of stars: Raven Simone, Omar Gooding, Nell Carter, Don Lewis, even Don Cheadle had a recurring role on the show.
I want to go back and watch this show because I don't really remember the premise beyond like, I think
I
Vanessa was like a rich girl, and I don't remember what like the conflict constantly was.
I do not remember watching this show. But I will say it is kind of giving me a little nostalgia for the fact that like we used to have multiple Black sitcoms.
And on primetime. It wasn't on the WB, which was a whole network that was created. Mm-hmm.
But even the WB, or UPN, the WB had mad fucking shows.
It really did. Where have they gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about Sister Sister?
I never knew how much I missed.
You better give me neck. You better dig into that neck, girl.
Class, I hope you can hear the neck. I ain't never gonna let you go,
sister.
That was a fucking bop.
It was the bop. So Sister Sister had 6 seasons on TGIF, but would eventually finish out its run on the now defunct WB network, which we just mentioned. It starred real-life twins Tia and Tamara Mowry. Sister Sister chronicled twin sisters, also named Tia and Tamara, who were separated at birth only to find each other as teenagers. To avoid separating the girls again, their parents, Lisa, played by actress Jackie Harry of 227 fame, and Ray, played by Tim Reed, decide to move in together before Lisa moves to another city for a new job.
I'll say it again. Sitcoms love a blended family.
It's a great form. It's clearly worked over and over again. And
yeah, it's like it's Odd Couple. It's a bigger version of Odd Couple.
It's so true. And allows for a lot of hijinks, as you said earlier. Mm-hmm. They also loved an annoying neighbor utterly infatuated with the characters in the family, like the main characters. Sister Sister had actor Marcus Houston playing Roger Evans, who was obsessed with the twins in the show.
I'm surprised that you call it's Marquise.
Is it Marquise?
But you don't know who Marquise is?
He was in that group Immature, right?
Yes, it was Immature.
But I don't know. I do remember know that band, but I don't know their music.
You don't?
What was their song?
That I remember. The girls were. We were.
If the girls were, DeLon was, okay?
I will also say Immature is such a good group name.
It's a great name.
It's a great group name.
It really is. It's a solid name.
Okay, so now that we have a rundown of some of our favorite shows from TGIF, it's time for us to pitch our own TV shows in the style of a TGIF sitcom. But first, let's take a quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And we're back. DeLon, do you mind if I go first?
Not at all.
Okay, so I know we talked about pitching an actual TV show. I want to just say, I think instead I'm going to just go a little bit broader and say that we need to just bring back the sitcom, period. Bring back the multicam, because it's just the state of TV. It's so interesting that, like, coming through the pandemic, you know, the racial awakening of 2020, all the shows are so dark.
Yeah.
They're so depressing. They're so dramatic. And I really think Abbott Elementary is hysterical. It's so smart. It's so funny. But I think part of its success is because we need a sitcom.
We
are thirsty for comedy. I would say Ted Lasso, same thing. Like,
yes.
Ted Lasso was a good show, but it came out at a time where, like, we needed comedy, joy.
We needed goodness. Yes, you're so right.
Yes, exactly. The landscape has just gotten so dark. I don't know if you saw this Deadline article that was saying that only 3 pilots have been ordered versus in the past, we usually get like 100 pilots. Like,
3 pilots have been ordered?
Yeah, there's been 3. They're all at NBC. It's really bleak out here.
Wow.
As for what kind of shows I would like to see, I love a workplace comedy. There's so many workplaces we haven't gotten to see. I've always said I wanted, you know, I worked retail for a long time. I loved Superstore for that reason, which, you know, is a show that I was on. But there's so much fun to be had in, like, women's boutiques. Like, I worked at Anthropology, and, like, the way that we were, like, tricking women into these ugly fucking clothes that were so expensive, I think is really, really funny. And then, like, my whole pitch for a show around a women's clothing store is, like, the guest stars could be the shoplifters. Because we always deal with shoplifters.
I got a bonus catching a shoplifter one time. I sure did.
Whoa, we did not get a bonus catching shoplifters. We didn't get anything. So, I would love something in that world. Could be really fun. Also, something in a funeral home, which is kind of dark, but like the funny version of 6 Feet Under, I think would be fun. And again, situational comedies rely on like the same device every week. And so, a funeral home, somebody has to die every week. You're dealing with the family. You're dealing with the family, the drama.
That's actually really good.
Ex-girlfriend shows up.
Wasn't that show Amen? Do you remember the show Amen? Wasn't that a funeral home? Or was that a church? That was just a church, I think.
I don't remember. But anyway. I remember the theme song a little bit, but I don't remember what the premise of the show was.
I was in a pilot writing class with your friend Caitlin, who is one of your writing partners, and she kind of grouped us in to like read other people's work. And this woman had such a great premise for her sitcom, for it to be in an amusement park that like these three daughters inherited, who like all kind of didn't know each other. It was kind of brilliant, and I thought that would be great to like shoot in an amusement park every week. Like, what is the hijinks that could happen, the ride stops, you know what I mean?
Yes, but I will say logic police, that's a single cam, so that's gonna be expensive.
Oh, you were talking about multi-cam. Okay, heard. So my fix for this is a sitcom that I think it like kind of works toward healing our 21st century divisions. And I say that because Disney is the parent company of ABC, and TGIF was all about family oriented material. So I want, but I'm going to update it obviously because I'm me and I'm gay and it's going to be gay. I want to see a sitcom where we have like a Christian parental figure who tragically has lost their entire family and ends up taking in a queer kid who's been kicked out of their home after they've come out. And I wanted to be called, "What Would Jesus Do?" Which I know feels a little accusatory, but I just think it would be like, it's opposites, right? And I think it could work toward like just bridging like the growth and compromise that has to happen when you build connection with other humans, despite your differences and despite the misunderstandings.
Feels like Punky Brewster.
Very that. But I think like without going too deep into like, this is what you need to do with your life. It's just, no, this is what I believe. I love you. This is what I believe. This is who I am. I love you. How do we meet in the middle so that we can coexist together? I think that can bridge and start a lot of conversations. It's very Pollyanna.
But it feels very multicam. It feels very sitcom-y, where there's like a lesson at the end of every episode.
Exactly. And it's very ABC. It's very Disney. So that's my pitch.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you. Now it's time for our favorite segment, The Glow Up, where we give props to those who have turned themselves around without our help. Fran, do you mind if I go first this time?
Sure, go for it.
So Mr. and Mrs. Smith is now a TV show. Donna Glover of the TV show Atlanta and Maya Erskine, I think is how you say her name, from Pen 15, star in Prime Video's reboot of the 2000 film starring Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Now, full disclosure, I have not watched this series yet, but the original film is on my short list of action movies that I frequently watch when I'm a little sad and I need some escapism.
I love that freaking movie.
I fucking love the movie.
Also, the sexual tension, because you know that's where Brad and Angelina fell in love.
It is. Also, starring a Kerry Washington. She had a cameo in it. But I'm clearly very intrigued. I'm excited to watch it. I'm hearing good things about it, but there was a little controversy that I wanted to bring up. Donald Glover created the series with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is of the Fleabag and Killing Eve fame. The two hit it off while filming Solo, a Star Wars story in 2018, and they teamed up to write the reboot of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. But it seemed that two captains were one too many, and Phoebe bowed out of the project. So far, Phoebe has stayed silent on her exit from the project, but Donald was quoted in USA Today saying, "It might have been just a cultural thing." You've got to think, Fleabag was written entirely by her. They didn't really do writers' rooms in the UK. And I look back in Atlanta, we built a culture where we could say mean things to each other or be like, that idea was kind of crap, and we'd laugh. You weren't afraid to say something. But we also had the right to roast you. It was just how we got the laughs. I don't think Phoebe Waller-Bridge and I ever felt comfortable enough with each other. Which, I mean, I don't know Donald Glover like that, but it sounds like a little bit like it was a little harsh.
It feels a little shady. It feels a little shady, but I also think it is also maybe a little bit true, because it is very different writing something by yourself
for sure.
Writing with someone else. And the fact that he says, like, you know, our writer's room, we roast each other. Unfortunately, that is part of, like, writer's room culture.
Is it really?
Like,
just like,
yes.
Razzing and, like, really cutting each other down?
Yeah, a lot of razzing. Like, you really, and I'm not saying that I think it's the right approach, but the writer's rooms that I have been in, you pitch something and it bombs and everyone, like, laughs. Everyone's like, cut up your WGA card. We had a bit in one of my rooms where, like, if a joke bombed, we would all close our laptops. So we'd be like, all right, the day is over.
I mean,
we're all going
funny.
Home. And, like, it was a funny bit. Like, you have these, like, we call them, like, room bits, you know? And so I could assume that there is a world in which maybe Donald was doing that same type of thing with her. And she was like,
it
what the fuck?
It didn't go over well. You're right. She took offense.
And and again, like, I'm not saying that it's the right way to go, but, like, the same way when you, like, are dating someone new, you're, like, learning each other's personality.
Right.
Like, there's just, like, a learning
curve. And writing
curve.
Together is dating, right? Working together is dating.
It is. And especially if you come from, again, writing a whole show by yourself, which is a huge undertaking. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge, you cannot deny.
Oof.
She's so fucking
smart.
One
of my favorite shows. I mean, Fleabag made me want to write.
Yeah. She's
her and Michaela Cole.
She's so funny. She's so smart. But in the UK, a lot of time, it started as a play, similarly to Chewing Gum. They don't really do, some shows have writer's rooms, but even when they do, there's like four people. They're very, very small. I did see that Phoebe put out a statement that was almost like similar to his statement, but like the nicer version, like the nicer, more polished version.
I didn't find that.
Like,
what did she say?
It was like, I wish nothing but the best for him. It, you know, I have fond memories of us working together. Sometimes good ideas, you know, die, and, you know, it doesn't mean anything about either person. It was a very, like, well-crafted statement versus his, like, off the cuff where he's like, I don't know, we talk shit.
Maybe it was a cultural thing. She could, her skin was too thin. I was going to say wet.
Yeah, no, the skin was not
Help
wet.
Me.
It was thin.
Help me. Fran, what do you got?
My glow up this week goes to cassette tapes. They are making a comeback in Japan.
Okay.
Some stores in Tokyo have decided to start expanding their cassette tape sections because people are demanding them. It's so interesting. I found a quote from a 21-year-old university student who says, a cassette tape is for when I really want to listen to music carefully. It's so interesting that the tapes, similarly to, like, the resurgence with records kind of blowing up.
Well, and camcorders, you mentioned that was when your other glow ups was a camcorder.
It's really interesting. So apparently they're theorizing that the tape resurgence is because they're cheaper than records. And so they're kind of having a boom of vintage tapes, which I think is really cool. And now, like, some musical artists in Japan are starting to release songs on cassette tapes, and people are carrying around cassette players. It just feels like a lot
of
this move back to, like, the analog, which I think is really interesting, especially because, and we talked about this with, like, the camcorder of it all and, like, photo albums and stuff, we have gone so digital that if you lose your phone, for example, all your playlists are gone.
Playlists, and, like, photos, contacts, I mean, shit is gone.
All of it's gone. And, like, you know me, because I loved making mix CDs, I love a mixtape.
Yeah.
The time it takes to make a mixtape, you're not just dragging and dropping songs. You got to sit there and
you're curating.
You have to record the songs. I would record from my radio. I would, like, wait all day for my favorite song.
And you get, you miss the beginning of the song.
You have part of a commercial, or you have part of the DJ talking over the song. Like, I love that stuff. So some things that I found in the article, from USA Today, which was talking about this cassette tape resurgence, is that it's spanning the gamut. It's not just, you know, millennials wanting to relive their past. It's people in their 50s and their 30s and teenagers, people who have never seen a cassette tape in their life,
oh
but they
God.
Think it's cute. And like, to be fair, it kind of is.
It is. Well, and it's new.
Especially when you get a cassette tape that's like a different color, like a pink one or a yellow one. Like, they're just fun. And again, like I said, they're more affordable than records. And I think there's just something fun about like tangibly being able to like hold something in your hand, put it in the cassette, like the ritual of putting the tape in the box and closing it is just fun. And it I think we're just missing that, generally speaking. So shout out to cassette tapes.
Yeah, I would say that like the tangible idea it in such a digital world, as we push more and more toward digital, like having something tangible makes you feel like it's real, makes you feel real, makes the experience real, right?
Yeah.
So I totally get behind that. It also made me think about when I learned about 8-tracks. You remember 8-tracks?
Oh my God. Yeah.
I know. Like, we were not alive when 8-tracks were a thing, but like, you know, people, I have like an uncle who had like an 8-track thing, and I was like, what is
in his
that?
Car. Did he have an 8-track player in his car?
In his car. And you also, I think the 8-track, I don't think you could rewind it, or you could only fast forward. It was like one of those, something like that.
Well, class, that brings us to the end of today's episode. We want to hear from you. If you were an ABC executive, whose TV show would you buy, mine or Delon's? And let us know if you are interested in Let Me Fix It TGIF 2.0, fixing some failed shows. Or maybe you would just like to suggest a TV show, a celeb, or a brand that we should fix in a future episode. Hit us up on Instagram at FixItPod or email us at letmefixitpod@gmail.com.
And do not forget, we now have a YouTube channel. Visit youtube.com/@fixitpod to watch this week's episode and see our lovely faces. And if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app.
I'm Francesca.
I'm Delon. And this was Let Me Fix It.
Strip by strip, day by day by day. Excuse me,
Dead.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.